All right, go ahead and open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. And on Wednesday evenings, we'll be dealing with the subject of wisdom from above, as you know. And we've been working our way through the book of Proverbs, and of course, the first nine chapters of Proverbs. A lot of the Proverbs we read are passages, but once you get beyond chapter 9, you'll find that they are kind of individual statements. And so we've been looking at some of these and dealing with certain subjects, and the idea is that you and I, as believers, have a choice as to whose wisdom we're going to follow, the true wisdom from God and His Word, or the pseudo-wisdom of this world. All those voices that we hear every day telling us what to do and what they think is right, and this is the way to go. And we have to choose, is it going to be wisdom from above or wisdom from beneath? We know that that wisdom, according to James chapter 3, is earthly and sensual and even devilish. And we are no doubt to avoid it. So hopefully this series has helped you. It's helped me as we've trying to renew our minds every time we come into church and get our thinking straight. One verse tonight, Proverbs chapter 12. Notice verse 18. We read, "There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." Amen. Let's read that together since it's only one verse tonight. Ready, begin. "There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. I pray tonight as I preach your word that you'd please fill me afresh and anew with thy spirit. May your word have free course. We pray that you'd rebuke and bind the devil tonight. And Lord, we pray for your power this evening. We need thee tonight to listen. I need thee to preach. Fill me afresh and anew again, I pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Not long ago, my wife and I watched a documentary on the case of Michelle Carter. I mentioned her in a sermon before. If you remember, Michelle Carter was a teenager that lived in Massachusetts. In 2012, while she was on vacation in Florida, she met a young man her age by the name of Conrad Roy. So you have Michelle Carter and Conrad Roy. They learned while they were in Florida, each visiting relatives, that they were both from the general same area in Massachusetts. And so they became friends. And they started what we know today as a virtual relationship. In other words, that whole online thing and texting thing, communicating one with another. And that went on for a few years. Now, as time went on, Michelle and Conrad, through texting one another, discovered that they both had something in common. They both struggled with emotional issues. Now, Conrad struggled with anxiety and depression, and Michelle with an eating disorder. She got victory over it, then was having problems with it back and forth. And Conrad, even at one point, began to share with Michelle his thoughts about committing suicide. Now, at first, when he shared those thoughts with Michelle, she, of course, encouraged him, look, you need to seek help, and so and so forth. But then suddenly, after a while, her text message counseling to him had changed. It went from seeking help to encouraging him to do it. As a matter of fact, in June of 2014, for two straight weeks, Michelle repeatedly encouraged him to kill himself. They talked at length about how he could do it with carbon monoxide, and she repeatedly texted him, "You just need to do it." And so on the morning of July 13th, 2014, it all came to a head. You may know the story. Michelle texted the following to Conrad. She said, "If you want it as bad as you say you do, it's time to do it today." She went on to say this, "Okay, I'm serious. Like you can't even wait till tonight. You have to do it when you get back from your walk." She again texted, "You're fine, it's going to be okay, you just gotta do it, you can't think about it." Well, so that day Conrad did what she said. He gets in his truck, he drives to this remote place in a Kmart parking lot in Fairhaven, Massachusetts, parked in his vehicle, he had brought with him a gas-powered water pump that he started up inside the vehicle to produce a lethal level of carbon monoxide in his truck. And so after he started it up, he sat there for a few minutes, and he began to get scared and panic and have doubts. And so he bursts out of his truck, and he decides to call Michelle. Michelle now tells him, not through text, but verbally, over the phone, "Get back in." Well, Conrad listened, and he died. Now, Michelle was found guilty later of involuntary manslaughter. Now, I'm not going to get into the legal side of this case. Sad, sad story, no doubt. Or whether the court's decision was right or wrong. But what I would like to speak about this evening is something that is very evident both in the case and also what we find in the Word of God, and that is this, the power of words.
Right.
The power of words. You know, one of the most frequently mentioned topics in the book of Proverbs is the topic of words. It speaks about our tongues and lips and so forth, and not only speaks of what we say, we'll see here tonight, but also the way we say things. You know, in the 915 verses that we find in the book of Proverbs, we find words like lips in 44 verses, words in 43 verses, mouth in 50 verses, speak in 15 verses, the word tongue in 19 verses, and utter in 2 verses. Add to those words I just mentioned some specific words that have to do with our speech, words like tail-bearing, I think we talked about that in this series already, slander, reproof, instruction, and counsels. And you'll find that on average, watch this now, on average, about 1 in 4 verses in Proverbs, 23% in the book of Proverbs, deals with what comes out of our mouths. A quarter of the book. I guess it's pretty important. Now here in chapter 12, we find several verses that deal specifically with our speech. Let's just look through it. Notice verse 1. Whoso loveth, here it is, instruction. That's talking about talking, right? Instruction. There's that word. Notice in verse 5, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. There it is, talking about our speech. Look at verse 6. You find the word words. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Notice verse 13. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. Then in verse 14, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Look at verse 17. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. I read verse 18. Look at verse 19. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Look at verse 20. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but the counselors of peace is joy. Look at verse 22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. And then verse 23. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. So again, all through this chapter, we find the subject of words, of speech, of how we talk, our tongue. Now tonight I want to hone in on that one verse because I think there's a powerful truth there that we need to learn. And that is, notice verse 18, there is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Tonight I want to preach on this subject, the wisdom of a healthy tongue.
Amen.
You say, what do you mean by that? Well, look what the Bible says. The tongue of the wise is health.
Amen.
And so we're talking about the wisdom of a healthy tongue. Listen, if you are going to truly, and I'm going to truly serve the Lord, guess what? We have to work with people.
Right.
We do. Well, I want to serve the Lord, but I don't want to work with people. Well, you're not going to serve the Lord then.
Right.
To serve the Lord, you got to work with people. And by the way, if you're going to work with people, you have to learn how to communicate with people.
Amen.
And that's not always easy. It's very difficult at times. You know, when I was growing up, there were two sayings, two jingles, I guess you could say, we used to say quite often that had to do with speech. You probably used them as well. The first one was, of course, sticks and stones will break my bones, but Names will never hurt me, right? How many remember that one? Anybody? Okay, good. A good one. How about this one? We use this one as well. I'm rubber, you're glue, what, everything you say bounces off of me and sticks to you. How many remember that one? Not as many. All right. Maybe it was an Aston, Pennsylvania thing. But anyway, we said those things. Well, can I say this? Those things are not true. Not according to the Bible. Sticks and stones will break my bones, and names will never hurt me. Yes, they will hurt people. They absolutely will. And things people say don't just bounce off. We got to deal with them. It's part of life. And, you know, the world makes little of the things that they say. Really do. I mean, throwing around hurtful words, being mean and ugly to people, and then after being mean and ugly and throwing out hand grenades to people, they will either walk away as if nothing happened, feeling victorious because they put them in their place, or that we got it off our chest, or excusing that behavior away with phrases like, well, I was just joking. Or I didn't really mean that. That is the wisdom of this world. But God's word, the wisdom of God, says the exact opposite. You see, God tells us that our words, your words, what you and I say, are very, very important. And they do matter. And they can and will influence the very direction of another person's life. I understand everybody has a free will and we're responsible for our choices. I get that. But my point is this. Words do influence and affect people. You see, how we use our tongues affects every area of our lives. It affects our marriages, if you're married. It affects our families, the structure of our family. It affects our friendships, our relationships at work, how we deal with church members. I say it again, words, the words you use and the words I use, are very, very important. And so tonight we're going to look at that, and particularly in a moment, what this verse says. But first I'm going to lay some foundational things. So let's consider some Bible principles here. Number one, some principles about speech. I want you to get this. There are some Bible principles that we have to lay as a foundation to get rid in our minds of the wisdom and the ways of the world and understand what God says about this subject. Again, there are three Bible principles here that I'm going to show you. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1, all the way back to the beginning. And here's principle number one. Are you ready? Write it down. Letter A. Our speech was given to us by God.
Amen.
That's easy to understand. Genesis chapter 1. We read, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. I feel like I have to read that one every service for some reason these days, just to remind everybody that's listening about that. But then notice verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given green herb for meat, and it was so. Now, typically by the age of 2, most human beings begin the early stages of oral communication. I always laugh because, you know, when parents have little babies, mom wants always the baby to say first, mama, and dad wants to say dad first, you know. But, you know, typically after they walk, they start to say phrases and things, and they begin those early stages of communication. By the age of 4, most have developed the ability to communicate through oral language. By age 6 or 7, most can comprehend as well as express written thoughts. Now, this ability is one of the things that separates us from the rest of creation. I want you to think about that for a moment. So the obvious question is, how did we obtain this distinctive trait that you and I can do? Well, it's very simple. I just read it here a moment ago. When God created the first human beings, Adam and Eve, He created them, He created us in His own image. Now notice He said, in His likeness we were made in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Now this likeness with God includes the ability to engage in intelligible speech via human language. In fact, I read as much as I did. You probably said, why did you read all that? Because immediately after man was created, did you notice God started speaking to them? They started communicating right away. So mankind, understand, very important, that barring birth defects, I understand that can happen, but mankind, generally speaking, possesses the ability, like no other created being upon the earth, to understand and speak verbal communication. I like what scientist Werner Gitt said in his book, The Wonder of Man. He says this, only man has the gift of speech. A characteristic otherwise only possessed by God. This separates us clearly from the animal kingdom. There is no animal living presently, nor has one been observed in the fossil record, that possesses anything close to the voice box present in humans. They don't have that. We do. One author wrote, quote, the animals have various means of communication. I know some of you are thinking when I said that, my kitty cat talks to me. No, your kitty cat doesn't talk the way we talk, okay? I get that. I saw you kind of nudging one another, saying he doesn't understand. No, I get it, okay? But the animals, they do have a means of communication, but it's to a very limited degree. But they do not have the power of words and speech and writing like man does. Can I get at least an amen there? Good, I got you all back on board. I mean, as an animal hater or something like that. My point is this, humans are capable of communicating in human language. Watch this, why? Because God gave us, created us with that ability to do so. So understand, speech is a gift from God.
Amen.
It's amazing, isn't it? So our speech was given to us by God. And the letter B, write this down, our speech should be regulated by God's law.
Amen.
That's principle number 2. So we have this gift, the ability to talk, the ability to communicate, the ability to write, and understand that God gives us some specific guidelines in His Word about how you and I are to use that gift. How we are to use our words. Well, what are they? Well, God wants our speech to be regulated in 3 ways. Number 1, moving right along tonight, amen. What in what we say. And I say it this way, in what we say. He's concerned about that. Psalm 19 and verse 14 says this, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now we understand we've been given the Great Commission, right? We're to go in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. So in a sense, we're commanded to speak.
Amen.
And so speaking is important. But not speaking everything.
Right.
Not to say just whatever we want to say.
Right.
We're supposed to be, what we say is supposed to be guided and regulated by what God's Word tells us to regulate it with.
Amen.
In other words, there are things that God wants us to say,
right,
and there are things that God doesn't want us to say.
Amen.
More about this later. So my point is this, we should not say everything we think. That we all be in trouble with that one. I mean, every one of us, imagine that. I mean, and by the way, we should not say something just because it's true.
Right.
Well, it's true, Well, it doesn't mean you should say it. Well, I'm just speaking the truth. Doesn't mean you should say it. You say, I don't get that. Let me show you a verse here. We're done with Genesis 1. Go to John 16. I'm going to show you something that will help you in this area. Because some people think, well, if it's the truth, I'm going to say it. Well, you better watch that because you're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble. Notice John chapter 16 and verse 12. Jesus Christ in the upper room with his disciples. This verse has helped me in so many areas. Notice he says to them, I have yet many things to say unto you. He had a lot of truth to give them.
Amen.
But ye cannot bear them now.
Right.
He says, I'm not going to say it though. Now, everything the Lord Jesus Christ said was true. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And so nothing he said was wrong or untrue, but he didn't say everything. And so be careful there. Before something leaves your mouth, before something leaves our mouths, we should ask ourselves, is what I am about to say pleasing to God? Does it conform to God's law? Or am I abusing this gift? So God's law should regulate what we say. Number two, it should also regulate how much we say. I like this one. Proverbs 10:19, watch this. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. In other words, the more you speak, the more likely you are, and I am, to sin. If we just keep talking and talking and talking, how many have ever been around somebody like that? All right, if you're not raising your hand, you are the one like that. Okay, it's you. And just talking and talking. And again, people that keep talking and talking and talking don't take the time to think before they speak. They just let it flow out. I mean, unchecked, unregulated, unguarded. And they will sooner or later say something that they should not have said. Because God's concerned about how much we say. Ecclesiastes 5:3 says this, a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. Wow, that's a powerful verse. You see, the more we speak, the more likely we are to say wrong words, to say things that are not accurate, to say things that are not true, to say things that are not proper, not godly, not kind, not edifying. The more we talk, the more likely we are to gossip, to be a talebearer, to criticize, to complain, to exaggerate, to make misstatements, and to make promises that we cannot keep. The more we talk, the more likely we are to say something dumb.
Right.
By the way, Peter was pretty good at this, wasn't he? He said it to the Apostle Peter. Do you remember Matthew chapter 26 and verse 33 when the Lord Jesus Christ was explaining how he was going to go to the cross and he said this, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. He didn't say it like that, but I just imagined it. And then a moment later, what did he do? He denied Christ. The Lord said, you better watch what you say because before the cock crow thrice, you're going to deny me. Before the cock crow, you're going to deny me thrice. So understand something. It is a wise thing. Yes, we're commanded to speak, but it's a wise thing to refrain our lips. James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So again, we see our speech should be regulated by God's law. Number one, what we say. Number two, how much we say. And then number three, how we say things. That's where our verse comes in. I'm going to expound on this a little bit later. But notice Proverbs 12:18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. Get to that here in a moment. Do you know that behind everything that we say, we're talking about how we say things. Behind everything that you and I say, there is a spirit behind it.
Right.
small s spirit. There is an attitude behind it. And how you and I say things, not just what we say, but how we say those things is vitally important. It must be regulated by God's law. We'll get into that in a little bit. So again, letter A, we're talking about some principles, trying to lay some foundation here. Our speech was given to us by God. It was a gift. Our speech should be regulated by God's law in what we say, how much we say, and how we say it. And then letter C, the third thing is this. Our speech is accountable to God.
Amen.
I could have worded that a little bit better, but I think you know what I'm trying to say. In other words, we're going to be accountable for what we say. Now, I understand if we're saved that we have a guaranteed home in heaven. I'm glad for that. Amen. We know we have eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I know when I leave this earth, and you do if you're saved, that I will be in the presence of the Lord, not because of my goodness, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for my sin. He paid my sin debt. He is my ticket to heaven.
Hallelujah.
So praise the Lord for that. So we're forgiven. Our sins are gone. They're under the blood. Right. And by the way, even all the words we say are forgiven.
Praise the Lord.
But
right.
There's the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
For all believers.
Right.
And I think if I read my Bible right, that's going to be a very serious thing.
Amen.
It's not going to be some party, you know, because right after it talks about it in 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we're told in 2 Corinthians 5 for the believer, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. I think you know when that takes place, after the rapture of the saints, 7-year tribulation upon the face of the earth, in heaven is the judgment seat of Christ, where believers get rewarded, or we will either be rewarded or we will lose reward based on what we've done with our lives since we've been saved. What we've done in our bodies, good or bad, like the verse says. But understand, that means something about what we say.
Amen.
It means that the words that we used, and the way that we said things, and how our words affected others and influenced others, will be a part of that reckoning.
Amen.
That accounting. In case you think I'm maybe sensationalizing or exaggerating, do you remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 12:36? But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Yikes. That's pretty sobering. Why is it such a serious thing? Because the effect of our words will live long after we do. In those that we influence, and children and grandchildren will live way beyond our lives on earth. See, these are some principles we have to understand about our speech. I'm trying to get us to realize that we shouldn't be throwing words out there like nothing.
Right.
We need to be thinking before we speak. Amen. So we see, number one, some principles about speech, our speech. Then number two, I want us to notice the potential of our speech. So let's go back to our verse. Now we'll dig into this verse a little bit. Again, we see that there is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. See the contrast there? Kind of the central word is the word but. On the left side is the negative side, and the right of the word but is the positive. So the negative, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. So the Bible's very clear here that our words, our speech, our tongues, however you want to describe it, it's all referring to the same thing, has great potential. Great potential. That's a good thing, by the way.
Amen.
You see, words are powerful things. Again, what we say, how much we say, when we say it, I could have added that to it, and how we say it. Our speech is a very influential tool, gift, if you will, that God has given to us.
Amen.
And it has great potential for good and for bad. To give you a little bit of an idea how the gravity of this thing, listen to Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Listen, I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people that are going through some sort of problem in their life, whatever it may be, emotional, spiritual, all, you know, and they'll say, well, you know, when I was growing up, my mom or dad or whoever always talked this way to me or always said this to me. And we're talking 30, 40, 50 years later, they're still talking about this thing and they're still dealing with it. Why is that? Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, again, it's not an excuse to do wrong. It isn't. We all still make our own choices. But there's that influence that's there that you got to deal with. It's a powerful thing. Proverbs 18:8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. So sticks and stones may break my bones, and names will do the same. It's probably how we should say it. Because they go deep down into the belly, very, very deep into the soul of people. Our words are so powerful when they come out. By the way, the more authority God gives you, the greater leadership and visibility that God gives you, whether you're a parent, you've been given authority by God, or a teacher, or a boss, or a supervisor, a Sunday school teacher, bus captain, a pastor, the greater influence we have, the more powerful our words are. And the further they go in the lives of people. But most people, when they speak, don't consider the power of the tongue. Just don't even think about it. Throwing out words carelessly in their homes, talking to children, talking to a spouse, without even thinking, spontaneously, knee-jerk reaction when you get upset. That is a very dangerous way to steward our words. I think that's a good way of putting it. We are stewards of our words. You ever say something and you wish you could get it back and undo it? That's how powerful it is. You can't. Now notice here in our text, our speech has two possibilities according to this text. There's others, but the two we find here. Our speech can either be profitable to others, bring health to them, or it can be piercing to others, like the piercings of a sword. Let's talk about those for a moment. Let's look at the first one, letter A, write this down. Our speech can be profitable to others. Notice the tongue of the wise is health. Can you imagine that? The power of influence we have in our words that God has given us. What you say, how much we say, when we say it, and how we say it can actually be spiritual health to people.
Amen.
If we use it in the right way. Right. If we steward our words properly. And one of the reasons that God gave us speech, perhaps we could even go as far to say as the primary reason, is to edify others. To build people up. That's why he's given us this gift. Ephesians 4:29 says this, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? In other words, watch your words. Don't let anything that's corrupt come out. It's not just talking about curse words. It's talking about things that are unhealthy, unprofitable spiritually for people. But only let those things go out that are good for that person, that edifies them, that ministers grace to them. 1 Corinthians 14:26 says this, let all things be done unto edifying. I got a picture of a coach there. I remember when I was playing Little League in Pennsylvania, and I remember my coach. His name was Mr. Cavanaugh. He was probably the most encouraging guy that I've ever met as far as, you know, at that stage of my life. I mean, you would swing at the worst ball that was 3 feet over your head. You'd swing at it like this. Hey, that's okay. Come on. You can do better. Just keep your eye on the ball. Always encouraging. Not, what are you looking at? What are you swinging at? That ball was 3 feet over your head, man. Get your head out of the sand. He didn't do it like that. He was encouraging. Praise the Lord for that. You see, we are to use this gift of speech that God has given to us to encourage, to edify. We can use it to teach others, to be a blessing to others, to have compassion on others. That's what wisdom from above does.
Amen.
It uses this gift right. It uses it to bring spiritual health to others. By the way, let me throw this in there. Ignoring people and not speaking to people does not edify them.
Right.
It does not. In fact, that sends a message of rejection
Amen.
To people. And that's one of the harshest human messages that exists, is rejection. The Lord Jesus Christ experienced that. You see, a simple greeting with a smile will do wonders to encourage others. That's why I always say in church service, you know, we should always say hello to everyone. Now, don't say it 100 times every time you pass them every 2 seconds. Then it gets to be a little bit annoying. But, you know, when you first see someone, that's just the right thing to do. So, again, our speech can be profitable to others. But then there's this other side, letter B, our speech can be piercing to others. Again, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. You see, you and I can speak in a way that our words come across as the piercing of a sword. Now, this is not talking about when you and I give out the word of God that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and to the joints and marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I understand when you preach the word of God or teach the word of God or give out the word of God that it does come and it pierces the heart. It absolutely does. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about something different. This is talking about having a sharp tongue. It's talking about our delivery. How do we deliver speech to people? Do we deliver it in a hurtful way? Do we deliver it in a mean way, in an ugly way, in a condescending way?
Right.
You see, when we say things, everything we say, it can either be said with a spirit of kindness behind those words, or there can be a spirit of anger behind those words.
Right.
We can speak the same words gently to people, or we can speak harshly to people. We can be abrupt with people, not considering their feelings, not considering their perspective of things, or we can be tactful with people, being careful not to destroy them spiritually, if you will. You know that two people can say the exact same thing to the same person, yet get two totally different responses if the delivery is wrong. We can. That's the power of words. And it's all because of the delivery. You see, when you speak or I speak like the piercings of a sword, listen, I'm not talking about you can never be firm with someone. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about coming across as mean and ugly and in anger. You see, when you speak the piercing, like the piercings of the sword, you know what that does? It causes those that are receiving those words to get upset and angry. It causes them to want to avoid you. It causes them to not want to engage in conversations with you or have any dealings with you. And what happens is instead of building people with your speech or with my speech, we end up destroying them because of the delivery. You see, if we're going to minister to people, if we're going to work together as a church, we have to learn not only what to say, but how to say it and when to say it and how much to say as well. And that's not always easy. It's not easy. This tongue, we'll talk about that in a second here. It's not an easy thing to control. But Colossians 4:6 says this. Listen to this. Let your speech be always with grace. Always. Seasoned with salt. In other words, don't compromise. I'm not talking about compromise here. Have the salt. But say it with grace, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. You see, no matter how true our words are, if our delivery is wrong, if we speak like the piercings of a sword, we're not going to influence many people for good. In fact, they probably won't want to listen to us because of our delivery. I truly think our former president, Donald Trump, now I thought he had great policies, but boy, he didn't have a great delivery many times. And that poor delivery got a lot of people mad, and so it didn't matter what he said. They were like this. I'm not listening. And it'll be the same with you. If you don't learn and know how to talk to people, they'll see you coming and go, not listening. Even if it's the truth of God's word. By the way, don't put that picture online. Amen. Somebody wants to find that and put it online. So number one, some principles about our speech. Number two, the potential of our speech. It can be profitable or piercing. And then number three is the power over our speech. If you're like me, as I was putting this together, I'm sitting here thinking, this is tough. Because, you know, it's easy with certain people, but it's not easy with other people. It's hard. How in the world can I do this? Well, look at James chapter 3, if you would, please. This is, of course, the tongue. Verse 1, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. That's talking about teachers there. And it's saying, if you have a position of leadership, understand God holds you accountable because you're not only responsible for yourself, but you're teaching others too. And so there's going to be a greater accountability there. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and also able also to bridle the whole body. Verse 2 of chapter 3, James. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. We also behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue, compared to a bit in a horse, it's a small thing, but it controls the whole body. A ship has a small helm, but it controls the whole ship. The tongue's the same way. It's a little member. And boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. Look at verse 7. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. It's kind of the litmus test of your spiritual life, the tongue is. Amen. Meaning that if you get this, you're going to be able to get everything else. Amen. But it says, you say, preacher, it says that no man can tame it. No man can tame it, but God can. Amen. You see, that's the key right there. Because you may say, preacher, I've given up in this area a long time ago. Don't do that. You know, I just can't control what I say. Don't do that. Yes, you can. Through Jesus Christ, you can. We cannot control our tongues, but God can. And as you and I yield to Him, as we die to self and yield to Him, we can speak kindly to others. We can use this gift of speech to edify others. We can say the right words in the right way and the right amount that our speech can. God wants to use it to be health to the hearers, health to your families, health to your spouse, help to those you minister to. It's a powerful gift He's given us. And He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. My point is this. Words are important. Words have ended marriages. Words have split churches. Words have divided nations, started wars. That's how powerful they are. Let's use this gift of speech that God has given to us. An amazing thing. Not given to any other thing on the face of the earth here. And use it to bring health to people. That means stop before you speak. And ask yourself those questions. What does God's word say about this thing? I should be regulated by His law. What I say, how much I say, and how I say things. Amen. And I'm going to be held accountable for this stuff. But boy, I'll tell you what a powerful thing to make a difference in the lives of people.
Amen.
When we use our speech to bring health to those we speak to. Amen?